Psalm 4, 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. The faith of faith, the hope of hope, the love of love is the light of the Lord's countenance. It's the light of the Lord's countenance. I want to talk to you this morning to particularly to believers, because you're not going to be the only ones that's going to enter into this. But you who are sitting here without Christ, you listen. Maybe the Lord will lift up the light of His countenance upon you today. Now, I'm talking to you who have been born of the Spirit of God, who've been given light, who've been given life in your heart. You know, by certain seasons in this life, it's this way in every season. This is the truth of how it is in every season. But there's certain seasons, more so than others, when the Lord lets us see this is so. He lets us see this is the truth. There's certain seasons in our life where we see, really do see, there is absolutely no power in us to restrain sin and to stop our flesh. There is absolutely no way to do it. And God lets us see that sometimes. He lets us see that sometimes. He makes us to see now and then that sin in our flesh, if left to ourselves, sin will reign over our minds. Sin will reign over our will. Sin reigns over all that we would do. The only thing that prevents sin from having reign over us is the reign of Christ. That is all. The believer knows that. The believer knows that so. The believer's been made honest, and he'll tell you that's absolutely so. Our fleshly will, together with all the will of all the men in this earth, cannot do, cannot produce what God produces by the light of His countenance. What is the light of His countenance? What is the light of His countenance? That's what I want to talk about this morning, the light of His countenance. Whenever the Lord has left us to see that that's what we are in our flesh, the Lord sometimes puts the prayer in our heart by pressing it out of us, by bringing us down to the dust, so that what we cry unto the Lord is not what the many cry. We don't just cry, Lord, just show us any good. Somebody show us some good. Who's going to show us any good? We pray to the Lord. And this is what we ask Him. Lord, lift Thou up the light of Your countenance. What is that? What is it? Well, look over at Psalm 80. We looked at this verse Thursday night. And I just want you to see. I want you to see from this Psalm what it is. Psalm 80. I can't read the whole psalm to you, but let me just begin with this. This is what it is a desire after. This is what it is. Verse 1, give ear, That's what it is. It's to have the ear of God. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, is to know, to be come into the realization that He is my shepherd. He's got me. He's leading me. He's protected me. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength. That's what the light of His countenance is. It's His strength. Is to be made to know His strength, the power of His strength. And He says, come. It's to have the Lord God come to us and save us. That's what it is, to have the light of His countenance. Here's what it is, verse 3. Turn us again, O God. Is to be turned again. Repentance is not a one-time thing. It's a continual thing. It's to be turned again. Turn us again, O God. Cause Thy face to shine. This is what it is. It's to have His face to shine in our face, before the eye of faith in our heart, is to have His face shine. Turn us again, O God, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And that must be some look. That it just immediately makes us to know, I'm saved. We're talking about His look to us. Look down at verse 6. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Look down at verse 18. So will not we go back from Thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon Thy name. That's what it is to be quickened. That's when we call upon His name. That's when we say, Lord, lift up the light of Thy countenance. Quickening is not a one-time thing. You know that? We have to be revived continually, refreshed, regenerated continually. That's the only time we're not going back from Him, is when we feel the reviving of His Spirit, truly. The rest of the time, we're walking away from Him, and we'd just flat out walk away from Him if He didn't keep turning us back. That's how we don't turn away from Him. That's how we don't go back. Quicken us, and we will call upon Thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Well, if you just said we won't go back from You if You quicken us, then how come they need to be turned again? That's what I'm saying. When He turns us again, that's when we don't go back. But He constantly is turning us again so that we don't go back. That's how we don't go back. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now let's go over to, hold your place in Psalm. We'll come back here, but let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. I was tiptoeing so much Thursday night when I began to see these things, and I pray the Lord to give me the liberty to bring them to you now. You know, Melinda got one of those big magnifying mirrors here recently, and I've been at folks' houses that had one of those and looked into it, but that thing's sitting on the bathroom counter, and I've looked into it a couple of times, and you see what you are when you look in that thing. You see the dirt you are, and it's the ugly truth when you look in that mirror. It shows you exactly what you are. Well, we go in this world, and we get to going along, and we get to seeing by His grace, by God's grace, God gets to magnifying to us the light of our image, all our imperfection, all our unholiness, all our sinfulness. And we begin to see it. and He presses us. He brings us to cry out, Lord, lift up the light of Thy countenance. I can't look in this face anymore. I can't behold this anymore. And this is what God does when He calls us to see the light of His countenance. 2 Corinthians 4:3. Let me just read this to you. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest otherwise, here's just what happens. The light of the glorious truth of Christ, the gospel of Christ, the truth of Christ, who is the very image of God. This is who is the face of God. This who is the countenance of God, the image of God, shines into our heart. Shines unto them. This is what happens. The truth shines. When God shines the light of His countenance, we don't behold our sinful image shining back at us, looking back at us. We come to the mirror and we look, and we don't see our own ugly, sinful, unholy, dirty, polluted, self-righteous face looking back at us. That's not what we see looking back at us. We see the truth of the gospel looking back at us. And this is the truth of the gospel. When He shines into the heart of His people, He shows us the image we really are. He shows us the face that the believer really is. And it's Christ, the very one who is the very image of God. Look down at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What would you rather have looking at you? Would you rather have somebody that you trust with everything? Would you rather have them frowning at you or smiling at you? Which one? When you see this light of God's countenance, when God shines the face of Christ Jesus into our hearts, we don't see that frowning, disheartened, discouraged, downcast look that we are in our face, in our flesh. We see the smile of God looking back at us. We see the smile that He has towards His child because of what Christ has done for Him and for His child, for us. That's what we see. This is the truth of the gospel we behold. We look into this, to when God shines His light in our heart, we hear in our hearts what God's been declaring to us in this gospel. We come and we hear it. And we hear it, and we don't believe it. We don't believe what God says to us in this gospel. It just becomes words that we just hear over and over and over, and we think we know it, we think we know it, till God puts our face down in what we are. And then gently lifts our head to behold what we really are in Christ Jesus. And when we see that face shining back at us, we see the smile that God has towards His own Son, towards us because of His own Son, because His Son came forth and glorified Him. We see the smile that God has towards us because His Son came forth and fulfilled all righteousness. We see the smile that God has towards His child of mercy because Christ came forth and on our behalf, He became absolutely polluted by having the sin of us laid upon Him and the justice of God poured out on Him. His bruise, the bruise that He bore so that He put away all the wrath of God toward us. We see the smile of God's face towards His Son, and we see His Son smiling towards us in our hearts. That's what we see when the light of His countenance shines upon us. And you know what happens when we behold that? This is what happens when we behold that. We are changed into the very same image that we see looking back at us. Look at chapter 3, verse 18. We all, this is what happens for the believer. This is what happens. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We behold just like looking into a mirror, but we don't behold our face. We behold the glory of the Lord. We behold the face of Christ Jesus. We behold Him who has perfected us forever. And when we look and see His glory, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's by the Spirit working this and revealing this in the heart. Tell me what that means. We come to the mirror, ugly in our sin, downcast, and He gives us a view of the image that we really are in God's presence. And when we see this light with our open face, just like looking into a mirror, then this gloomy, frightened, strengthless sinner is changed in the new man, in the heart, into the same image. We see and know and realize in our heart, I really am what God says I am. I really am as how God says I am. I'm not how I see me, and I'm not how you see me. I am how God sees me. And God sees me perfect, absolutely spotless and sinless, as righteous as God is righteous, as perfect as God is perfect in His blessed Son. And when we see that, you know what happens? What does it mean we're changed into the same image? You know what it means? The depravity we are that has just pulled us and sank us down into this mess of corruption, it's overcome. It's overcome. The doubting that we are, where we just doubt and we just, oh, I can't be a child of God. I can't be His. You ever had that? You ever felt that? You ever known that? This doubting that we are, it's overcome. All of this darkness that we are in ourselves, and all of this darkness and bondage we're walking around in, and we just have weighted down under, it's taken off of us. That weight's taken off of us, and our darkness is turned into light. All that stuff we were walking around and trying to pretend and convince ourselves and convince everybody else that would listen to us was holiness, which it just plagued us and just put a thorn in our own side to the point that we just knew in our heart of hearts, this is not holiness. This thing I've been walking around trying to convince myself is holiness, this is not holiness. I ain't fooled anybody but myself. This is not holiness. Oh, but when we see the glory of this light, we see holiness. And we realize, I am holy. In Christ, I'm holy. I see my righteousness. I see my holiness. We're brought to see when we have no strength, absolutely no power, absolutely no strength, when we walk, when we just don't, when all we can do is just, and this is by His grace, this is by His light, it's by the Holy Spirit making intercession in our hearts with us, because we don't even know how to pray what we ought to pray. It's Him bringing us to the point to where we cry out and say, Lord, I don't have any strength. And we see this light, and then we have all the strength. Christ our strength. Do you see? Do you understand? The light of His countenance separates the new man from the vanity of the old man. The light of His countenance brings that love and that joy that you can't put into words. It's the light of His countenance that's our salvation from our flesh and from the temptation of our own flesh and in this world. It's the faith of faith and the hope of hope and the love of love to have His face shine back at us and see what we are. See who we are. Now don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Our flesh, it's just what it's always been. Our flesh, you go home and look in one of them magnifying mirrors. That don't reveal the half of it. It's our flesh is just as carnal and as corrupt and as ugly and as vain and as dead and as loathsome as ever. I'm not talking about a change in that man at all. I'm not talking about that change at all. I'm talking about something that happens inside the heart. I'm talking about something that happens inside the new man that's created of God. You could tiptoe. You can walk on your hands from here to there. You can flip backwards and do somersaults, and you can do anything because you have the strength and the wisdom and the righteousness and the holiness that our Christ is shining into our hearts so that we see, I am as God says I am. How does God say I am? Look at 1 John 4. How does God say you are, believer? 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. That's what we see when we see the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. How is He? How is He? He's seated at God's right hand. So are we. And that's what you see when in the light of His countenance. He's reigning over sin, and sin has no touch on Him, nothing else to say to Him. That's how we are in Christ. That's the light we see in this countenance shining back at us. How is He? He's dead to the world, dead to this law, and it has nothing else to say to Him at all. It can't overcome Him. It can't have anything else to charge Him with. It can't say anything to Him because He's fulfilled it all. That's how we are. That's how we are. Dead to this flesh, dead to the law, dead to the world. He's with the Father. Married, as it were. There with Him in union with the Father. You know what we understand by the light of this countenance? We find out that we have that the old man that was such a taskmaster is dead, and we're married to Christ now. We're in union with Him and one with Him, and we behold this in the light of His countenance in the heart. And when we have the light of His countenance in our heart, we walk in His light. We walk in His light. The rest of the time, you know what we do? We walk in the sparks we've kindled. That's right. We walk in the sparks we've kindled the rest of the time. Oh, you ought not say that about a believer. Is it not so, believer? Do you not find it to be so? But when He shines His light, we walk in His light. We quit trying to walk in the light that we've kindled by ourselves. We say, Thou hast made me most blessed forever. Thou hast made me exceeding glad with Thy countenance. You put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I don't need to help. This is when we realize it's not money holding me back. It's not the bills holding me down. It's not the mortgage holding me down. It's not other sinners holding me back. It's not corn and wine that's keeping me from walking after the Lord and giving all to Him. That's not what's keeping me from it. It's my own corrupt flesh, that's what it is. But when we behold this treasure shining unto us, we're blessed and we have gladness in our heart more than when all this world has their harvest of corn and wine. We got something better than the elite meeting together and trying to determine how everything's going to be spent and managed. We got Christ the treasure. Christ the treasure. It makes us to repent from our murmuring. It makes us to cry out and say, Oh, my soul, why are you disquieted in me? Why are you disquieted? Why do you keep murmuring and keep complaining and keep acting like everything that Christ is, you're not? Why do you keep acting like you don't have an inheritance reserved in heaven for you? Why do you keep acting like Christ, who spared not His only begotten Son, will not provide all things for you? Oh, my soul, why are you disquieting within me? Why do you keep murmuring and for a little while, sin becomes a hated thing. By this light shining in our hearts, sin becomes a hated thing. Temptation becomes weakened. The soul becomes separated from all those worldly pursuits that we're always going after. We become separated from those things. All the ambition of our pride, which is nothing but prideful ambition and desire to be respected among people. That's a bunch of pride. That's the stuff of carnality, is exactly what it is. And that's all it does, is make us carnal. But for a little while the light of His countenance is shining in our heart, we're separated from that garbage. And we see it for what it is, and we hate it and loathe it about us. And we start praying for His countenance. We start saying, Lord, this is what I really need. This is all I really need, is the light of Your countenance to be shining upon me. If You turn me, I'll be turned. If you quicken me, I'll be quickened. If You keep me, I'll be kept. If You're my strength, I can run. If You're my light, I can walk. If when You're my hope, I got a hope better than anything in this world. And then we can encourage our brethren. We say, Oh, house of Jacob, come, let's walk in the light of the Lord. And we don't try to encourage them with that old thing that won't even manage us. We can't even manage ourselves with it. We stop trying to manage others with it too. Heart's a manager, and some of you have your own business, or you've been in management, manage your business. That is, hands down, that's the hardest job in the world, managing people. That's the hardest job in the world, managing people. Because people just are not going to be managed. They just not. They just, while you're looking, or maybe to be seen by you, because it's time to, bonus time or raise time, time to get a raise is coming around. It's the end of the year evaluation time coming around. But usually, folks just won't be managed. God's church is not run like a business. Because there's nothing that can manage a sinner but the light of God's countenance. That's all. Do you know that to be so about yourself? What can manage you? What can bring you to this point we're talking about right here? What can do this? There's absolutely nothing that can do this but the light of His countenance. This, what I'm saying is, when we have the light of His countenance, we stop trying to manage each other with the sparks we've kindled. And we stop trying to manage each other with the wisdom of this puny, ignorant brain. And we stop trying to manage people with this foot by driving them like they're a goat. We stop trying to manage our brethren that way. And then we start encouraging our brethren with this light that we have. And we abhor that whip. And that we've tried, I've tried 1,000 times. I keep grinding that thing up and burning it and throwing it in and putting it out in the garbage, and the trash truck keeps coming by picking it up. And that whip of the law, that whip of my flesh, just keeps showing right back up on my doorstep again. Just can't get rid of it. And I abhor it. I hate it. You know how only time I'm myself, the real me, is overcomes that very fleshly legal thing in the light of His countenance. You know how it's gonna overcome you? You're gonna overcome it in the light of His countenance. In the light of His countenance. All the unity of heart between God and His people, all the unity of heart between brethren, all unity of heart in the direction that we should go today and this week and this month and this year, all the unity of heart in the assurance that God has, is, and shall provide, all unity of heart which will manifest to those around us that we really do believe the Christ we preach, all is created in the heart by God through the joyful sound by the light of His countenance. All. Psalm 89:15 says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance." That's so. I want to tell you, one time when I was about 8 years old, I grew up in a little town in South Arkansas, which is very close to a town even smaller than where I grew up called Falk, Arkansas. F-A-U-L-K. It's right outside of Texarkana, Arkansas. I grew up close to there. And in the early 70s, there was a movie that came out. It's supposed to be a true story. It was called The Legend of Boggy Creek. And it was about a Bigfoot. And I saw that movie. And I spent most all my time in the woods, in the creek bottoms. And I was about 8 years old. And I can remember being in that, back in there one day, and I was miles from anybody. And I was by myself. And I can remember after seeing that, you know how it is after you, something like that scares you. I can remember being down there in those woods, and I can remember looking down through the woods, and you could see it's flat in a creek bottom, you know, and you can see a long ways down through the woods. It's not as many trees, it's open. And I can remember looking down through those woods, and I thought I saw Bigfoot. You couldn't have convinced me otherwise. I thought I saw him. And when I did, I froze in fear. I mean, I didn't take a step. I didn't move a muscle. I tried not to blink an eye. I just stopped, and I was just scared to death. Before that, the birds were singing, the sun was shining, I was walking along having a big time. When that happened, it was like everything went silent. And there wasn't any sunshine, and there wasn't any birds singing, there wasn't anything but me just frozen in fear. We get that way. What happens is, left to ourselves, we see through a glass darkly. Even when we see, we don't see the full, but we see through a glass darkly. And the reason we doubt, and the reason we get so tossed, the reason we're not more doers and less doubters, is because in our flesh, we're just like a man that looks into his natural face in a mirror and walks away and straightway forgets what kind of man he was. Forgets what he saw in the mirror. You ever seen a man do that? How many times, when you get dressed in the mornings, how many times you go look in the mirror? You get dressed and we put our ties on and we get it all on and we walk away and you go back and look in the mirror again. You have a spot on your shirt or on your tie or something like that and you go back and look in the mirror as if it's going to be gone. It's still there. You keep going back and looking. We forget, straightway forget. The reason we're doubters instead of doers, the reason we get frozen in fear is we forget, brethren, what we've seen in the light of His countenance. We forget that in His light we are as He is. We forget that in Christ all things are ours. We forget whose we are and why we're put on this earth. And we forget all that. And we start thinking that we're really here for us. We start thinking that we're really here to be respected of people. We really think that we're going to actually get one worm to remember us years and years down the road. We have visions in our own hearts of all our written works being remembered down the road in a library somewhere by other worms just like us. So what? So what? So what? What have you accomplished? What is the accomplishment of that? We envision what other people are saying about. We think about what other folks are saying and how the great swelling words they're speaking of us and how they, oh, they ought to have seen that I did and seen this thing I did. They ought to be acknowledging this thing I did. If we really heard what they were saying about us, we'd want to go jump in a river. When the Spirit of God speaks into the heart, He won't let us be a forgetful hearer. He won't let us look into this mirror and forget what we've seen. He won't let us forget. In His light, we're going to see light. God, the Holy Spirit, He will not let us not walk in the light of His countenance. He lets us alone sometimes to show us that we can't walk otherwise. But He's going to keep bringing us back and shining the face that we are into our face, and we're going to look into the perfect Word. We look into the Word perfected by Christ, the Word fulfilled by Christ, the righteousness fulfilled by Christ, in whom we've been delivered and in whom we're free. And seeing His face in the mirror looking back at us, He strengthens us so that we look into the perfect law of liberty and we continue not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, and we whistle while we go. We whistle as we work. You know what we say with David? I showed you this Thursday night. Psalm 27:1. When this light is shining, this is the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. He's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's what we have. Well, that light grows us inwardly. It grows us inwardly. And again, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That light shines more and more until the day, to the perfect day, to the day it stops shining through a glass darkly. It shines more and more. And the more and more it shines, brethren, the less and less you and I start looking at, less and less we look at our flesh and expect anything good of our flesh, and the more and more we just look at Him and trust Him. And the man who thinks it's the other way, it's backwards to that. It's backwards. He's just backwards. The man who thinks he's growing more and more in his flesh, putting away things, and that may happen. You may do that. But I can assure you this, as that happens, you're going to see more and more that there's absolutely no goodness in it. Nothing about it good. It's going to become more and more loathsome to you, so that Christ is everything to you. Look less at the face staring back at you in the mirror, and look more in the light, in the face of Christ Jesus staring back at the in the gospel. That's how the fleshly man's mortified. That's how the inward man's revived. That's how darkness is made light. That's how the feeble is made mighty. That's how the self-righteous and self-holiness is made to be abhorred. He said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And just the opposite is true as well. The more we look at ourselves, the more we look at how good we are and how far we've come and how much we've overcome, the worse off we are. Melinda, I'll be brief here. Melinda had a place the other day getting her hair cut. She told me this story, and it was even extra funny to me because my mom, you know, and sister both are. My mom had her own shop and cut people's hair and all that. But you know how when you're at the, you ladies or you fellas at the barber shop, you know how if you're talking, like I'll be talking to my barber, and I'll be looking at him in the mirror, and he's talking to me, and I can tell. We're looking at each other in the mirror, and I can tell he's looking at me in the mirror. And we're talking to each other, but we're talking to each other through that mirror. Well, this girl, Melinda was telling me, cutting her hair. Melinda said the whole time she was sitting there talking to her, like say, you're her. Scott. She's sitting there talking to her like this, but she's just looking at herself in the mirror and the whole time she was talking. And it was just obvious she wasn't looking at Melinda. She was just looking at herself in the mirror. Enamored. just looked at herself so long in the mirror that all she could see was herself in the mirror. That's what happens when we look at ourselves rather than Christ. You go to this word right here trying to find yourself, that's all you'll see is yourself. That's all you'll hear is yourself. That's all men will preach is self. You go to this word looking at Christ and you quit seeing yourself. That's right. And you quit seeing all the ugly spots and blemishes in your brethren. You start looking at each other through the mirror. You understand that? Not at each other, but looking at each other through the mirror. And Christ, looking at each other through Christ, the mirror, makes each other look a whole lot better. A whole lot better. We keep looking at ourselves and we become hell to ourselves and to everybody around us. The only one that's not fooled by that is us. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Alright, let me end this with one more word about this that I got to remind you of. The light of His countenance never changes. It never changes. You know, you go in your house sometime and you look into a mirror in your house and you can't see the image looking back at you because the light's not on. You can sort of make out that there's an image there. But the lighting's not good enough and you can't see the face looking back at you. But the face is still the same. It's still there and it's still looking right back at you. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. He will make it plain. And this is what He brings us to see when He makes it plain. Look at James 1. James 1:17. Lord, shine the light of Thy countenance upon us. That's what we pray. When He does, we see that even during that darkness, even during that dry season, this is what we see. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He never has turned. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything about time changes, but eternal is eternal. God doesn't unregenerate those He's regenerated. He doesn't unredeem those that Christ has obtained eternal redemption for. He doesn't unforgive those for whom Christ has put away sin forever by the sacrifice of Himself. He that is of pure eyes and to behold evil and to look upon iniquity looks upon His children in Christ Jesus with a smile of delight, and it never changes. It never changes. Well, I said that was the last thing. I got one more thing. Look at 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Now, if this happens to us in our hearts, when we're looking right now through a glass that's so dim and so dark, what's going to happen when we see Him face to face? When the perfect day comes. The light's going to keep shining more and more. It's not going to stop. What's going to happen when we finally, in that perfect day, see Him face to face? Verse 2. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You and I can't even see it. We can't even imagine it. But we know that when He shall appear, when the light appears, in person, face to face, and I'm known as I'm known, and I know Him as I'm known, I am known, we shall be like Him. Why? What does this? What does it in the heart right now? What's going to do it when we see Him face to face? Because we see Him. We see Him as He is. You want to see yourself as you are? See Him as He is. see Him as He is. And that day will be like Him all over, inwardly, outwardly, all over completely. And forever. This is what the Scripture says. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, thy God, thy glory. The Lamb, the light of it. Well, let me sum it all up with this. This is what I've been trying to tell you. This is what I've been trying to... This is what I know by experience. I know this by experience. I keep preaching this to myself, and I keep trying to tell it to you. If we would look less to the smile of men, less to the smile of our own faces, less to the smile and favors of men, and more to the light of His face right now, there is absolutely nothing that will hold us back from setting forth His glory and His word and the light that we believe and trust. Nothing. Light reflects light. Light reflects light. And the more light we see, His grace makes these little bitty puny spirits to be full of life and full of strength. This is my prayer. This is my prayer. Lord, lift Thou up the light of Thy countenance upon us. Turn us again, O God, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Amen.